Okay, we are now joined by the winner of the Drive for the Cure 250 presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield at Charlotte Motor Speedway and the driver of the number one Junior Motorsports Chevrolet, Sam Mayer. Sam, that was obviously a crazy final stretch of laps for you. Take us through your head when that final caution came out and how you're ultimately able to pull off your third win of the year and advance to the round of eight.
Yeah, well, when the last caution actually came out, I thought the leader crossed the line. Because it was so close, I was like, oh, well, there goes the entire season right there. But luckily, it was early, so that's good. But yeah, that last restart was certainly unbelievable. I feel like I did everything in my power there to optimize what that last lap was. And I put the 48 in a bad spot. He thought he had to block, and I ended up just turning underneath him on the exit of 7 and driving away. So it certainly helps having a car. Our QPS Chevrolet certainly was fast. That helps. But yeah, I mean, this was probably the toughest Xfinity field here on the Roval that we've had, and we came out on top. So it's super, super cool to have that. And now I got a trophy next to me, and I told my other trophy. I was like, when I left the house this morning, I was like, I'm going to bring you home a twin tonight. So I get to actually do that. I kept my promise.
All right, well, we're going to open it up to questions. We'll begin with Zach up here in the front, then we'll go to Lee and Bob.
Zach Sterniolo, NASCAR.com. Sam, you and Parker had some fierce racing there over the last eight laps of regulation, and then again, obviously, in overtime, but it seemed like you guys were taking care of each other. What was going through your mind during those battles, and especially once he got back by you in the front stretch chicane before that last overtime restart?
Yeah, like I have so much respect for Parker because he is one of the coolest guys in the garage. He's a really good race car driver, and he's driving for a team that the owner, Scott Borchetta, I respect highly. So being in that spot, I'm like, God dang it, really? Am I really going to be behind the 48 on this last restart and all that kind of stuff? Because, again, I have so much respect for all those guys that work on the race car and that drive and own it. And I'm like, man, I got to do everything I can to take care of my guys, my people, and myself. I said this morning, I was like, if you're in my way in turn 7, you're not going to have a good day. And I was like, okay, well, everyone except for the 48. So, but it worked out in my favor. I put him in a bad spot to where he thought he had to block really hard, and I was able to turn up underneath him, put him in a bad spot, and just drive away. So it certainly worked out really, really well. Huge thanks to everyone that raced really cleanly today. Like, this was probably one of the cleanest Roval races that we had, at least up at the front. Yeah, for sure. So it was super cool to be able to come out on top in that.
We'll hit Lee then Bob.
Lee Spencer, Sirius XM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. I asked you most of what I need in Victory Lane, but I'm curious. And I guess it was just tough love. You started having mechanical issues. I think your clutch was getting stuck or something was going on with the transmission. And Marty comes over the radio and he says, figure it out. And, I mean, you know, you've got enough on your mind without trying to figure out how to get into third gear. So how do you handle a situation like that?
Yeah, like all the parts and pieces that we have at JRM are usually really, really good. And this is definitely the first time in quite some time where I've had issues with, in this case, the transmission. I've been hard on JRM and all those guys that work over there to get better stuff. And we've gotten to a point the last 2 years to where it was really, really good. So I was like, oh, my God, of course, in this race of all races, I'm going to have an issue with my transmission. So I got the third gear stuck in the gate probably like 6 or 7 times throughout the race, which for me, that's a lot. Usually it's at most one for anything. So I was pretty frustrated with that. And obviously there was 2 big times where it cost me a lot of time. And I was able to kind of hold on with that and do my job and figure it out, like Marty said. Because at the end of the day, I go out there and I drive and I have no excuses because these cars are obviously capable of winning. We did it last year. We did it again this year. So I just got to go out there and do it. And that's why he said figure it out, because that's my cue that no complaining. You just got to go do it.
We'll hit Bob and then we'll go to Jacob.
Bob Pockers, Fox Sports. I have 2. The first, can you take me through the emotions of the last 8 days? Second place, DQ, lose the appeal, penalty here at the start, and then come back to win.
Yeah, it certainly was a roller coaster because we were really confident in what we had going into the appeal and all that kind of stuff, and it didn't get overturned, so we were kind of shocked. I was not prepared for it. But obviously, we went in there on Thursday morning to the shop, and we did our absolute best to figure out all the outcomes that we had to do. Everything that we kind of looked up and did the math for, it all led to just having to go out there and win. And we were like, well, we did it last year. We know how to do it, so we just got to go out there and do it again. Obviously, it's a little different this year with some road course aces in the field like SVG and AJ. But the only three letters I care about are SAM.
And were you confused of where the line was on the exit of the restart zone there for the start? Because there's two. There's one for the oval, and then there's one just beyond it for the road course. What happened?
He just outdid me right there. Unfortunately, I'll admit that. He waited really long in the restart zone to go. I tried my best to time it and get going. I thought I heard him go, so I went. And then I see in my mirror he didn't go, so I was like, crap. So I lifted. I was like, well, I'm already going to get the penalty, so I just went. And so that's why I had such a big gap there before we pitted. But, I just got outplayed right there. And from there on, I was like, yep, I got to go out there and win it for all these guys because I already made the first mistake of the race, and we didn't even get started yet technically. So, tough deal. Obviously, that put us in a worse spot than we actually already were, but it almost kind of helped because it made our race kind of clean cut. Like, we only had one objective, and that's go out there and win. So we flipped the stages and put ourselves in that spot, and we made it happen.
Go to Jacob here.
Jacob Seelman, Race Face Digital. You told me Wednesday, Sam, that this was the only outcome if you guys were, going to pull this off and move on. Is there a little bit of satisfaction in not just knowing the plan, but being able to sit here and say we executed the plan, even if it wasn't always pretty?
Yeah, I mean, one way or the other, whether the appeal went in our direction or did not, we wanted to come out here and win this race and defend our race win from last year. This one's definitely a lot sweeter because there are those aces in the field that we had to go out there and beat, and we made it happen. Obviously, like, going out there and having that pressure on your back, it almost feels good because you know that, like, no one's looking in your direction to go out there and do it, and then you surprise them and you go do it. And on top of that, making it to the Champ Four because of this win last year, I have to back that up. There is no turning back from here. My objective is to be two spots better in the championship, and it started today.
Go to Jordan up here.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. What have these past few months been like for you at JRM since you made your announcement that you're leaving?
It's been amazing over there. Like, all the people that work in the shop that I get to see almost every day, and all the people upstairs, and all the people that work on my race cars and in the fab shop and the suspension shop and everything else. It's been an awesome experience to see how much they are still taking care of me and still have that drive to go out and do things like we did today. Obviously, things are a little different because I am leaving, but that doesn't change what we're doing for the next month. We still have that same objective to be a couple spots better in the championship. And like I said, it started the day, but it's been an awesome experience. Obviously, I'm sad to go because of it, because I've actually almost grown a lot closer to everyone in the shop since then. So it's gonna be a fun ride towards the end, but there's always an end.
I believe we got one more from Jacob here.
Yeah, Jordan gets a pass, though. It's okay. How many times, if you were you playing turn seven in your head during that last caution before the overtime?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was replaying everything in my head, for sure. Every corner had every solution, outcome, algorithm, whatever you want to say. Like, I was trying to do all the math in my head to see what we could do, whether the 48 takes the left or the right, whether he gets into turn one or spins the tires. I had all that kind of mapped out and see what we were doing. And the last scenario that I thought of was him having to block going into turn seven. I opened my entry up and turn up underneath him, and that's exactly what happened. So I was prepared, and that's why I didn't feel really any pressure, because when you prepare to the best of your ability, that's all you can do. And then you go out there and execute, and you're not supposed to feel any pressure if you do that because you've done everything you can.
All right, we'll wrap up here with Trent.
Trent Washington with FrenchChase.com. We were pulling down pit road. Your teammate Justin Allgaier came by and was jumping up and down congratulating you. I asked him about that on pit road. I told him he looked more excited than for you winning than advancing, but he didn't know at the time he advanced. And so what does it mean to have a teammate like that, a veteran on this team, even though you're walking away, somebody who's a big cheerleader for you and your successes?
I mean, he's right now in his position, how long he's been in the sport and how long he's been in Xfinity and how long he's been at JRM, he's the backbone of all four of our drivers at that shop. And he's the one that pushes us to be better because he outruns our stupid asses every week almost. And he's also just a lot wiser, but he's such a good person that he's still helping you and still rooting for you, even if it's at his detriment. And that's a super powerful thing for sure. And that's a lesson that I want to keep learning is how to feel that way. And obviously it ended up well for him too, because we both advanced and we got 3 JRM cars in the round of 8 now. And that's super exciting for sure. So I'm looking forward to getting this next round underway because we are going to be a threat for the next 4 weeks, and that's all that there's left.
All right, well, Sam, we got one more from Dustin and then we'll wrap up.
I had a couple questions, Sam. Dustin Long, NBC Sports. There's been a lot of talk from the Cup guys today about, I know the cars are a little different, how rough the front stretch chicane is and the blue curbing. What did it feel like as somebody who just went over it 60, 70 sometimes?
Yeah, so the front stretch is really bad, but the back stretch one too, you're going faster into that one. Just the way that the angle, I feel like I'm going faster, I should say. I can't say that for sure, but if you miss the backstretch chicane and you're clobbering those curbs, the first one hurts really, really bad. And that's coming from an Xfinity car driver, and it's not as rough in the Xfinity car. So I can't imagine what the Cup cars are feeling like if they miss the corner or whatever through there. But the front stretch chicane definitely is pretty rough with the Turtles. But that's just because they made it a sharper angle. And as race car drivers, we're going to get everything that we can. And, I mean, we saw Bubba in qualifying, I think, go all 4 on the curve. And we saw what that did. He was all 4 off the ground. So you're put in a box, but you're also a race car driver trying to get everything you can. So I'm definitely guilty of just missing the corner or something like that and clobbering the curb and being like, it's fine, until it's not. So it's definitely a tough... it's a tough spot. I don't like it. I don't like that they did that. I don't know why they did that, but it's what they got to race.
You had also talked about just the process that you went through, I guess it's during the caution, and what move to make, what to do, and then coming up with the hairpin move. How have you developed that process as opposed to, I think a lot of people look at you guys, and when you're under caution, you're just driving around at 40 miles an hour and you know, maybe getting on the radio to complain about something, but not really thinking things through. Can you kind of take me a little bit deeper into that? Because I think that's an element people don't quite see or understand what you guys go through.
Yeah, and to your point, you're almost doing more work under caution than you are under green, because under green, you're focused on one thing, and that's optimizing each and every corner to the best of your ability and the car's ability. Under caution, you have to let your mind wander because it gives you ideas and it lets you explore different outcomes and open up your mindset. Because when you're under caution and you're just kind of dozed off, just waiting for the green flag to come out, you lose that edge for sure. And so if you do a good job of just staying focused, keep thinking about what your job is, because I mean at the end of the day, it's my job, and you're not supposed to get breaks like that. But yeah, like your thought process comes over just experience of experiencing different things. I've been in that situation before with making those moves. So it's kind of just something that comes with time.
Is that also working with Josh and Scott Speed?
Absolutely.
And if so, what is that going to be next year? You're not going to have that in your
back. Yeah, I'm definitely trying to soak up as much information from them that as I can over the next month or so. So it's definitely going to look a lot different for me next year. But yeah, just taking all the information that I can from everyone that's around me.
And with that, Sam, congrats on the win tonight and clinching your spot in the next round.
Thank you.